I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Darcy and Randy Shore have written a new cookbook, Home and Away, Simple Delicious Recipes Inspired by the World's Cafes, Bistros, and Diners, and it looks rather delicious. They take the reader along their travels throughout the world and show us how to make the delicious food they've encountered, many memorable meals, from Asia to Africa through Europe and places in North America and South America. The Shores have had some marvelous dishes, often street food with flavors that can be had at home. Ramen that would take the chef 12 hours to prepare can be had in a one-hour version that they've devised that'll make you think you were in Japan. Randy Shore joins me now. He is the author of Grow What You Eat, Eat What You Grow. He is a food and sustainability writer for the Vancouver Sun and the author of the Green Man blog. He's a former restaurant cook and an avid gardener. He lives in Roberts Creek, where he joins me from today. The book is published by Arsenal Pulp Press. There'll be a book launch for the for Home and Away Wednesday, the 3rd of May, at the Book Warehouse here in Vancouver, Main and King Edward. And there'll be a launch in Gibson's at the Seasoned Kitchen Saturday, the 6th of May at 11 a.m. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Randy Shore. Mr. Shore, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Pretty good yourself.
Very well, thanks.
Where did you and Darcy meet?
I was cooking on the line at Sunshine Village Ski Resort, and she was the manager of the dining room, so it was actually kind of an office romance.
Yeah, and so, I mean, so you've cooked, I guess, your whole life, and she has as well, is that right?
Yeah, she's quite an accomplished cook, and she does fantastic desserts as well.
Yeah, and so the food that we see in the book, I mean, how do you guys work in terms of devising the recipes?
Well, generally speaking, we recall a recipe or, you know, experience a recipe someplace, Istanbul, Paris, or where, what have you, and then, you know, try to go about recreating it in a way that is really accessible and easy for home cooks. That usually starts with me, you know, writing out a recipe and trying it, and then Darcy criticizing it in various iterations until we get it right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I follow your travels on Facebook, and I see all the pictures of the recipe, I guess, development that you all do at home. You post photographs of those, yeah.
I use my Facebook friends sometimes to test the recipes for us, too. So after I've had four or five tries at it and I have something that I like, then I put it out there to let my Facebook people try it and, you know, see if they like it. So those are the recipes that end up in the book, are the ones that people really like.
Yeah, so as I said, I followed your travels on Facebook, and I see these trips that you both are taking to these various places. I mean, is it a costly proposition?
Well, it depends on how you travel. You know, if you stay in, like, expensive hotels inside the tourist zone and eat at those kind of restaurants, then sure, that can cost you a lot of money. But, you know, if you're willing to stay a few blocks away in a more working-class neighborhood and eat at the local diners, you know, where working folks eat, you not only do you eat cheaper, but in my opinion, you eat better. You get, you know, you get the time-tested recipes that have been around for 50 or 60 years that, you know, working folks love and that they've been eating for their whole lives.
Yeah, there's one recipe in the book that you was inspired by a meal you had years ago, and you followed where all the hard hats went.
Well, yes. That could be one of many, but let's say it's the Hong Kong-style lunchbox fried rice. You know, when I was living in Hong Kong for a short time, 30-odd years ago, there were a number of, like, big construction sites in the area, and I noticed that, you know, at lunchtime, all the guys with the hard hats would climb down off the bamboo scaffolding, and they'd all go to this one place a couple of blocks away. When I got there, they had, like, 30 or 40, like, styrofoam containers of fried rice all stacked up, and they were, you know, $5 Hong Kong, you know, about 90 cents a piece. Mm-hmm. But inside was this, like, delicious, delicious rice that I just couldn't forget.
Well, what do you think traveling has done for you and Darcy in terms of your cooking? I mean, it certainly expands your tastes and your palate. But have you noticed because when you first met, you were younger, your tastes have changed, say?
I think so. I mean, we were pretty typical Canadian cooks at the time, and even though I'd been abroad, I wasn't far from an expert in the global cuisines. You know, over the years, eating in corner cafes and diners and, you know, the sort of wood-fired grills of Istanbul, Yeah, you do expand your palate, and you become more comfortable with some of these flavors. And what you come to realize is that sometimes it's just one ingredient or one technique that separates you from, you know, achieving something really quite exotic and interesting.
Yeah, and most of these, like these exotic flavors, I mean, we can get these things in and around Vancouver, say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it might have been difficult 10 years ago to find, you know, halloumi or harissa. Not anymore. Every grocery store carries this stuff now.
Well, what's it like up there in Roberts Creek for you guys?
Well, I mean, we shop in Gibson's, which is a town of 5,000 people, and just about everything that we need can be had here, either, you know, just at the IGA or at the Season Kitchen, which brings in, you know, quite a few spices and condiments, you know, the little things that really help.
And I'm assuming where you are, you can't get char siu, the Chinese barbecue pork.
No, you cannot get char siu in Gibson's. So, I mean, for years we had been, you know, picking up 3 or 4 pounds of Chinese barbecue pork on Kingsway in Vancouver. And so finally I started working on that recipe. I got some recipes from friends. And then I got some advice from a friend of mine, Mark Ewan, who grew up in a barbecue house in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a couple of secrets, which I started to employ, and what do you know, that homemade char siu is every bit as good as you get at the barbecue shop.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a great recipe in the book, and I'm thinking it'll be tough, but it is easy, isn't it?
Oh, it's pretty easy to do. I mean, if you've got, you know, some molasses and some honey, you're most of the way there because, you know, ginger and garlic are I hope, part of everybody's cabinet.
Yeah. Did you find that there are staples that you need to have in your pantry at home to make most of the stuff in the book? Like, I mean, is there some basics that we ought to get as we're cooking along reading this book?
Well, I think that once you these little jars of condiments, you know, a bottle of soy sauce is literally $2.50. You know, a little jar of harissa, literally, you know, $3 or $4, and a little of it goes a really long way. The same with the, you know, my favorite Korean condiment is gochujang, which is like a spicy fermented pepper sauce, and you know, you could get like a 2-year supply for about $5 and make some terrific stuff.
So we were talking about traveling a moment ago. When you guys go around the world as you do, you eat like locals. Do you worry about getting sick?
No. I mean, honestly, if you look at the clientele of a restaurant, first of all, go to someplace busy.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way a restaurant stays in business, even in Korea or Turkey or where have you, whatever. They don't stay in business if they make people sick. So popular restaurants are almost always nice and safe. If you're eating street food, look at the guy who's serving it. You know, if he looks awful and sick, then I would move along to the next guy. But if you've got a young, healthy fella and he's serving up something that looks fresh and well-cooked, then by all means, have that.
Yeah, the other thing in this book throughout the recipes, you have interviews with some prominent and well-known chefs. And as you talk to these folks, as you and Darcy do throughout the course of writing this book, what do you think is a common link that say, good chefs or well-known chefs know about food that the rest of us should?
Well, there's a couple of things that came out of those interviews. And we talked to, you know, Michael Smith and Vikram Vij, Mario Batali, Anita Lowe, you know, a James Beard nominee, Edward Lee, another James Beard chef. And the one thing one of the things that comes out of that is that they all have this history of loving those diner style recipes, you know, the menus that are sort of immutable. They all have those great nostalgic feelings for, you know, what we would call Canadian Chinese food, you know, maybe in the local Chinese cafes at the bus station, but they serve, you know, chow mein or grilled cheese or cheeseburgers. But, you know, they all have those things that they love, and they still go back to that stuff. The chicken balls with the red sauce, chefs will eat that stuff because they loved it as kids, and they still love it as adults.
Yeah, that's the thing that I got as I was reading Home and Away, is just how powerful memory is, and how, I mean, for you and Darcy, how that conjures up so much of how you eat today.
Oh, I know. Like, if you've had that, like, great experience of, like, smelling the wood smoke and the spicy meats and crisp vegetables and, you know, these are what I call flashbulb memories. I know Mia Stainsby, the Sun's food writer, calls them Proustian moments. But they get burned into your mind, and, like, you can relive that pleasure, you know, by cooking that food yourself. And so, you know, we set about making sure that people would be able to recreate those moments and have that great pleasure, that big first bite that's so satisfying. You know, we really wanted it to be accessible and easy for people to do. And I think while the dishes sometimes look a bit exotic, they're really pretty easy to execute with just a few things. You know, pick up a little lemongrass and some turmeric, and, you know, you can make a great Singapore-style chicken curry at home. It's hard to think of anything more pleasurable than that smell.
Yeah. So when you go to a place and you like something, and do you ask for the recipe? I mean, how successful are you in getting that?
Yeah, you can definitely ask. And if they know you're a tourist and no threat to them in their local market, they're usually pretty forthcoming, you know? If I'm a Vancouver cook and I ask, you know, Feeney for, you know, a recipe, he's probably going to tell me to get stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're abroad, they're like, well, number one, they're really proud of their food in these little mom-and-pop joints. That's why I love them. You know, it's not like staff that they've brought in or cooking. It's like mom and grandma back there, and they are really proud of what they do, and they really adhere to their food traditions. And when you like it, they're overjoyed.
Now, are you and Darcy savvy enough that if you go to taste something, that you can figure out what's in it?
I'm pretty good at that, yeah. A friend of mine called me a super taster once. I've got a pretty good palate, and I'm able to pick out, maybe not the first time out, but, like, after two or three tries, you get to figure out exactly what's going on in there. And sometimes it's, like, something, you know, a little bit elusive, you know. Your curries are tasting good, but they don't taste like they were in India, or they don't smell like they were in India, and then you realize, oh, it's fenugreek that you're missing, or, you know, something a little bit exotic like that.
I guess we as consumers, as people that eat, need to think about our food more. I mean, that's what you guys have done, right?
Yeah, we think about it a lot. I mean, my first book was Grow What You Eat, Eat What You Grow, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's about cooking from the garden, cooking from the farmer's market, cooking local foods. And the whole premise of that book was to teach people what to do when they buy whole fresh food, because, you know, you can buy products in boxes and jars, and they're kind of already cooked for you. They're already seasoned for you. But you need a little bit of a skill set to work from whole fresh foods. And, you know, with Home and Away, we just wanted to give people the tools to make these, like, you know, interesting dishes that they may have had while they're abroad, or maybe they had them, you know, at a little mom-and-pop shop in Vancouver or Richmond, because there's thousands of little restaurants where, you know, people from every corner of the world are cooking. They're doing their traditional cuisines, and, you know, maybe you don't want to, you know, I don't get out to Vancouver every day, obviously, but, mm-hmm. You know, if I want to have the Mapo Tofu from Onlock on Hastings Street, well, I figured out how to do it. And that recipe's in the book, and I can enjoy that any time now.
Yeah. I was going to ask you your favorite places. You mentioned Onlock in the book, and you just mentioned a moment ago. I mean, are there other places that you like going to when you're in town?
Well, you know, Long's Noodle House on Main Street is a fantastic little place that I've started going to. Legendary Noodle. I'm a big noodle guy, obviously.
Yeah.
Onlock on Hastings Street is a real diner. Like, it's like not the cleanest place in the world, but the portions are good. Seasoned, you know, food seasoned really well, and you do get that sort of traditional Chinese service. You know, it's a little bit brusque, but they get the food to you fast, and that's all people seem to care about.
Yeah, what's the next adventure for you guys? Where are you guys off to next?
Well, in June, we're heading to Spain, so we're going to go to Madrid and Seville and Granada and have a little wood-fired seafood and some Spanish beef, and then we're heading down to take a cooking class in Marrakesh in Morocco.
Ah, that sounds delicious already.
Yeah, we're we're really looking forward to that. I'm thinking, too, we might take a baking class in Fez.
Yeah, you guys are having fun doing this, aren't you?
That's a lot of fun. I mean, you know what? Traveling's fun to begin with, but yeah. and we took a cooking class when we were in Istanbul, and that really accelerated our development of the Turkish dishes that are in the book. When our first night in Istanbul, we went to a cafeteria, if you can believe that, a really, really busy cafeteria, though. They were churning out a ton of food, and it had a lineup at 10 o'clock at night that went halfway down the block. You know, we had a great meal, roast chicken, fried fish, salad, fresh bread, and these white beans and sauce that were absolutely delicious. And fortunately, we were able to get some hints about how to make those from our cooking instructor a few days later. And Darcy's recreated them with Canadian ingredients, and, you know, they're fantastic.
What's it like, we're talking around lunchtime on a Monday. Have you had lunch yet? I mean, what have you whipped up, say, in the kitchen for your meal?
Today's lunch is actually last night's dinner, which is homemade pizza. So I made a quick sauce with San Marzano tomatoes and olive oil. I've got a pizza dough recipe, you know, just a good solid flatbread recipe that makes a crackery crust. And I think a little prosciutto, a little artichoke, some olives. You know, I think it's going to be quite nice.
Making your own bread, making your own noodles. I mean, as someone who you know, makes their own meals at home, it would seem a little daunting. I mean, how do we get over the fear that we might have in terms of taking those things on?
Well, you know, noodles are one of the kind of oldest recipes around, if you will. You know, they've been around for thousands and thousands of years in East Asia. Every home cook in those countries makes noodles. I mean, if you and likewise, you know, maybe in big cities in Japan, you just buy the noodles, buy your ramen or whatever. But making noodles isn't all that tough, and it's something that people have done in their homes for thousands of years. So there's no sense in being afraid of that. I've worked for 3 months on the ramen noodle recipe in Home and Away, and I have to say that it takes, you know, 5 minutes the night before and 10 minutes the day that you're eating them to, you know, roll it out and cut the noodles. You can cut them with a knife if all you have is a pasta sheeter. You know, you can also just run it through the spaghetti cutter on your pasta sheeter if you have one.
Yeah.
And they're great. They've got that snap, that springiness, and like I say, there's also a ramen-based recipe in there that, you know, makes a very satisfying soup. I'm big on ramen, and the good ramen places are in and around Vancouver, and I understand everywhere in the world are permanently lined up. That's the one way you can tell that you've got a good ramen shop is the permanent lineup out front. So, you know, we want to be able to have that experience anytime we want without waiting in line.
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal sometimes. I mean, people wait hours, won't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Jinya on Robson Street, even if you go at 3:30 in the afternoon, it's a 40-minute wait.
Yeah.
And I think the same is true in Japan. You know, the really good places, people will wait for an hour or two to eat there.
Yeah. What? Where in the world have you not gone yet, you and Darcy, that you would like to, say?
Well, we haven't been to Australia.
Uh-huh.
So that's a bit of a, but I kind of think of Australia as kind of a big hot Canada, you know, largely empty, people mostly in the cities. They do have a few interesting ingredients, though, and I've developed recipes for kangaroo in the past that have been pretty successful. You know, they have some indigenous spices, too, that I wouldn't mind working with. So I suppose that's one spot on the globe where we're yet to fill in the blank.
Yeah, that's the thing I admire about the both of you is that you're willing, I should say, to try things that we aren't mainly, you know, interested in trying even.
Oh, well, you know, you got to, once you start, you get pretty enthusiastic, you know. One of the most interesting interviews in the book is with Mario Batali, you know, who talks about, you know, eating soup from a guy, made by a guy sitting on a box, you know, at the side of the road. Like making soup and out of noodles and guts. Like, he's a very adventurous eater, Batali, and a good storyteller too. He also talked to us about Marrakesh. You know, they've got a huge plaza in the middle of the city that's completely empty during the day, and that turns into a big night market with about 80 food kiosks at night. And he said he ate his way through there for a week.
Randy, you work for the Vancouver Sun. You'll indulge me in a sort of local media question. Since you work out of the office, do you get a sense of what it's like inside the office with all the turmoil in your business?
It's been a bit chaotic lately. You know, there was a round of layoffs. People got their notice, and then it was a situation where we were working together with some of the people who'd been laid off, you know, because they had 2 weeks notice, and then that was extended to 4 weeks notice. So, you know, it was a little bit awkward, and mostly we were just saddened, you know. The good news is that last week we ratified a new contract that rescinded 21 of those layoffs, and so we're keeping a lot of good, talented young people in the newsroom as a result. Everyone decided that we were willing to take a pay cut in order to do that. So I think there were hugs and tears all around at that point.
Yeah, and so the paper, like for those of us that care about the media in this town, I mean, the paper will survive, right?
The paper will survive, and the company has said that during the course of this contract there will be no more involuntary layoffs.
Well, Randy, it's a pleasure talking to you today, and my compliments to you and Darcy on this terrific book, and best wishes and good luck with it. I appreciate your time today.
Well, thanks very much, and if people want to catch up with me, I'm on Twitter at the Green Man Blog, and I'm on Facebook at Randy Shore Cooks.
The book is called Home and Away, Simple, Delicious Recipes Inspired by the World's Cafes, Bistros, and Diners. It's published by Arsenal Pulp Press. It's one of its authors. Randy Shore joined me on the line from Roberts Creek, B.C. in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.